Our topic for tonight is Revelation's Lake of Fire and Brimstone.
Hellfire. Some years ago, the Russians were drilling the deepest well at that time in planet Earth. They ended up drilling down to 12,262 meters deep. Can you imagine a well that goes 12 kilometers into the Earth? And according to urban legend, they dangled a long wire with a microphone on the end of it down into that well, and they thought they heard screams coming up out of the hole. They thought maybe they drilled down into hell. It became known later as the Well to Hell.
Well, what is hell? Where is hell? Is hellfire down way underneath us somewhere? Or down under Siberia? We are looking at the hottest topic tonight in the Bible, but before we look at this topic, we want to consider the character of God. The Bible tells us in 1 John 4:8, God is love. Really? Will a God of love one day torment the lost all eternity in hell?
We understand the devil has taken advantage of the topic of hellfire more than any other Bible topic, probably, to lead people to look upon God as unjust, cruel, vengeful, and even to hate God. The question we want to consider tonight, does hellfire reveal to us a God of love and justice? We will answer that in our study.
There are two primary teachings in the Christian world regarding hell. Number one is that hellfire is unending torment, where the wicked are always burned but never fully destroyed throughout all eternity. The other is that hellfire will ultimately destroy the lost. And both of these people try to prove from the Bible. We know the Bible's not teaching two different things, so we want to see what the truth is from the Word of God.
First of all, the term hell is found about 54 times in the King James Bible, translated from the Old Testament Hebrew word Sheol, and translated from the Greek word Hades. However, of the 54 times that the term hell is used, 42 times it simply means the grave. Let's look at a couple examples of this.
Here is a text from Job chapter 17, 13, where it says, "If I wait, the Sheol, the grave, is mine house. I have made my bed in the darkness."
So here the Hebrew word Sheol is translated what, son?
Grave.
All right, another text. This is from Psalms 86, 13. "For great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest Sheol." Here, the same word, Sheol, is translated what? Hell. But in the margin, it actually says, or the grave.
Now, in the New Testament, the word Hades is used. 1 Corinthians 15:55. "O death, where is thy sting? O Hades, grave, where is thy victory?"
But oftentimes in the New Testament, the word Hades is translated hell. So we understand that of the 54 times that hellfire is used in the Bible, 42 times, it simply means the grave.
We want to answer three questions in our topic tonight. First of all, number one, when will hellfire burn? Or is it burning right now?
Secondly, where will hellfire burn? Down in the earth somewhere?
And number three, how long will hellfire burn?
When, where, and how long? If we can correctly answer these three questions, we will know the truth about hell from the Bible. Let's start with that first question.
The first question, when will hellfire burn?
To answer that, son, we're going to go to a story that Jesus told in Matthew 13, 24 to 30. You can mark that in your notes. Jesus told a parable of a farmer that sowed good seed in his field, and at night an enemy came and sowed weed seeds among the wheat or the rice. And when the crop came up, here were all these weeds growing with the good seed. So the servants asked the farmer, "Shall we go out and pull up the weeds?" And the farmer said, "No, let them grow together and we'll harvest them. Then we will separate the two." You can read that in Matthew 13, 24 through 30. Later, the disciples came to Jesus and asked him to explain the parable. Matthew 13, 36 to 39 is Jesus' explanation.
Here, Jesus said, Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said unto them, He that sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one.
He who sowed the good seed, who's that?
Jesus.
That's Jesus, and the field is what?
The world.
The good seed, who's that? I hope that's you. And the tares, the weeds, who's that?
Wicked.
That's the wicked.
The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. And the reapers are the angels.
Who's the enemy?
Devil.
The devil. The harvest is when?
End of the world.
The reapers are who?
Angels.
So Jesus is explaining his own parable. Now, verses 40 to 42. Jesus says, As therefore the tares. Who's the tares?
The wicked.
That's the wicked, the evil. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be when?
In the end of
this world, the Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There's hell fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth.
So Jesus says it will be in the end of this world.
When does hell fire burn?
The end of this world. Let's read on now, verses 49 and 50. Bible says, So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. So now we can answer our question, when does hellfire burn?
The answer is what?
The end of the world.
At the end of the world.
So where, then, are the wicked who already died? Are they way underneath us, burning somewhere?
Let's get the answer from Jesus.
Jesus said, John 5:28-29, Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are where?
In the graves.
They shall hear his voice and shall come forth.
From where?
From the grave. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation.
We will study those two resurrections tomorrow night. So where are the wicked today, son?
In the grave.
In their graves. Are they in purgatory then?
No.
Not in hell either.
And before they can come out of the grave, before they can be punished by hellfire, rather, they must come forth from the grave. That's the resurrection of damnation.
So we can clarify here, when will hellfire burn?
At the end of the world, after the resurrection of damnation.
Because they have to be resurrected before they are punished in hellfire. So question, son, how many people are burning in hell right now?
Well, as we speak right now, nobody, zero people are burning in hell.
Well, tell me then, who was screaming up out of the hole there in Russia, the well to hell?
Well, the Bible says, for they are the spirits of devils working miracles.
You may have heard of people who had visions of hell. There have been books written about the visions of hell. You might have read one. I remember some time ago somebody gave me one. And you can read there in this document the graphically illustrated picture of hell. According to this person, Jesus took them down to the lower regions and they saw there the wicked being tormented in hell. Well, one thing we know, whoever took the person down there, whoever gave the vision, that was not Jesus at all. That was a demon masquerading as Jesus, because Jesus says hellfire burns when? At the end of the world. Nobody is burning in hell now, so the visions of hell. Can the devil give visions?
Yes.
He gave one to Jesus, took him up on the mountaintop, gave him a vision of all the kingdoms of the earth. The devil can give visions. We have to test everything by the Bible.
So we've answered our first question, when will hellfire burn?
Let's move then to our second question, where will hellfire burn? We're going to begin to answer that from Revelation 21, verse 8. Mark it down. Revelation 21, verse 8. The Bible says, but the fearful and unbelieving, this is God's list of the wicked, and abominable and murderers and whoremongers. That word comes from the Greek word pornos, where we get our English word pornography, whoremongers, and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. There's hellfire, the lake of fire and brimstone, and it's called what?
Second
death. The second death. Please notice here is another evidence that hellfire cannot burn until after the resurrection of the wicked, because the wicked die a second death. Before they can die a second death, they have to have what?
Second life.
Second life. Can't die a second death until you've had a second life. They went into the grave when they died the first death, and before they can experience the second death in hellfire, they have to come out of the grave. They have to be resurrected. Well, son, does the Bible tell us where the wicked will be when they are resurrected and punished by the second death?
Well, it does actually tell us. Let's go read Revelation 20, verses 7 through 9. Revelation 27 through 9 tells us, and when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth.
Where?
Four quarters of the earth. That's north, south, east, and west. That's worldwide. Gog and Magog, and we'll look at them tomorrow. The number of, to gather them to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the what?
The earth.
Earth. And they compassed the camp of the saints about in the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them.
We're going to study more about this tomorrow night. The camp of the saints, Gog and Magog. We'll study that in detail tomorrow. But please notice, the Bible says, where are the wicked when the fire falls?
The earth.
They are on the earth. Fire came down from God out of heaven. People say, well, we don't know where hell is, but it's down there somewhere. No, hellfire is not down there somewhere. The Bible says hellfire is coming from up there somewhere. Fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And where are the wicked when the fire falls?
Right on the earth.
Right here on this earth. This earth is going to be turned into one vast sea of flame called in the Bible the lake of fire. You may remember the world was once covered.
It was once covered by a flood of water. Let's read about that from 2 Peter 3 verses 6 and 7. 2 Peter 3, 6 and 7. Whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto what?
Fire.
Unto fire, against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men.
So there's a second flood coming. This next flood is not a flood of water. The next flood will be a flood of fire. This whole world is going to be flooded with flame. Let's read on about it. Let's notice the description of it. It says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. Even the air is going to be on fire. The elements shall melt with fervent heat. It's going to be hot. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up.
Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat.
So even the elements are going to be on fire. The rocks are going to burn. The water. Water is made up of what?
Hydrogen and oxygen.
Hydrogen and oxygen. All God has to do is change the chemistry a little bit, and we would have an enormous inferno. And that's what the Bible predicts. So, son, where will hellfire burn?
Where? It's going to burn right here on the earth.
We've answered the when.
We've answered the where.
There's one more question to answer, and that is, how long will hellfire burn? Well, how long will hellfire burn? The fact is, I don't know. Nobody knows exactly how long except God. The Bible says, each one will be rewarded according to their works. So evidently, some people that are not very wicked, they're going to be burned up in a moment. Others are going to burn much longer. People like Hitler, Stalin, so forth. Who will burn the longest?
The devil.
Satan. But one thing I do know, hellfire will not burn throughout the ceaseless ages of eternity.
Are you sure about that, Father?
Well, there are some texts that seem to say that it will, and we're going to look at those texts. But let's consider three reasons why we know hellfire cannot burn for all eternity. First of all, where does hellfire burn?
On the earth. So we'll mark that down as number one. Hellfire will burn right here on the earth.
And yet this earth is promised as the future home of the saved. Let's read that. Jesus said.
Jesus said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Not a fire.
Matthew 5:5. So evidently the fire's got to go out, right? Where's the fire burn?
On the earth.
On the earth, and this earth is promised to the saved. Are we going to live here with fire burning around us? Of course not. The fire's got to go out. After seeing this world exploding in fire, in flame, 2 Peter 3:13, then St. Peter says, nevertheless we, according to his promise, what promise?
The meek shall inherit the earth.
According to his promise, we look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. What happened to the old heavens and the old earth?
They were burned up.
Burned up.
So God makes a new heavens and a new earth. Don't miss this. An eternally burning hell fire would spoil or would poison the happiness of the saved. If you knew that your father, your mother, your grandfather, your grandmother, your brother, your sister was in hellfire burning for all eternity, could you really be happy in heaven? Probably not. The second reason now that we know hellfire cannot burn for all eternity is that God is just and fair in all his ways.
Is he really?
Well, the Bible says he is. Job 37:23, touching the Almighty, we cannot find him out. He is excellent in power and in judgment and in plenty of justice. He will not afflict. Now, if God were to torment the lost for all eternity in hellfire, we could not say he is excellent in justice. He will not afflict.
Let's illustrate this way. Let's suppose that I'm driving through Manila on a motorcycle and I don't have on a helmet. And I get stopped by a traffic officer for not having on my helmet. And he said, Sir Lowell, you come to court. So I go to court for my crime of riding through Manila without a helmet on. And at the trial, I actually go to trial. At the court, the judge says, Lowell, Sir Lowell, because you didn't have a helmet on, I sentence you to be burnt to death slowly. Is that justice? I wouldn't think so. But which would you choose if you had to choose? To be burned to death slowly for not having your helmet on, or to live in hell for all eternity? Which is more unjust? I'd much rather be burnt to death slowly for not wearing a helmet, because eventually I would die and then I wouldn't feel any more pain.
How long is eternity? Someone once said if you could take a cup of water in your hand and you could empty out the whole ocean with the cup of water, that would be the first second of eternity. Eternity is forever without end.
Is that the kind of God we serve? Where did the doctrine of an eternally burning hell originate? Not in the Bible.
No, the doctrine of an eternally burning hell originated with that old serpent called the devil and Satan.
It's one of those doctrines of devils.
One of those doctrines of devils that originated with Satan's first lie, you will not surely die.
You see, if the soul is immortal, then where are you going to put the souls of the wicked?
If you take the pagan doctrine of an immortal soul, and then you add to that the Bible doctrine of hellfire, that will give you an eternally burning fire somewhere where the lost are tortured but never fully destroyed. And the root of this doctrine, this false doctrine, is the pagan doctrine of the immortal soul.
There are some people say, oh, that just seems so terrible for people to burn in hell for all eternity. We don't believe in hell. Hell is just sort of a symbolic thing. Everybody's going to be saved.
Well, that's not true either.
That's right. The Bible teaches there is a hell fire. There was one church that came up with a very creative solution. They said, we're going to make a place that we call purgatory. We'll purify people first, and then we'll bring them into heaven. Of course, that's not true either. The Bible does teach hellfire, but we're seeing tonight it does not teach an eternally burning hellfire, because the soul, is the soul immortal?
No,
we found out the soul is not immortal. There's a third reason why we know hellfire cannot burn for all eternity. Number three, eternal life is only promised to the saved. God never promised eternal life to the wicked in hellfire or any place. In fact, the Bible says, John 3:16, would you read it with us tonight? All together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not
perish.
Should not what?
Perish.
Perish, but have everlasting life. What about those who do not believe in Jesus? What's going to happen to them, son?
They will perish.
Let's see what the Bible says.
The Bible says the wages of sin is eternal life in hellfire.
Huh? Is that what it says?
Oh, it doesn't say that. The wages of sin is death.
Romans 6:23, another text. Ezekiel 18:4, the soul that sinneth, it shall live in hell for all eternity.
No. It shall die.
No, that might be what some preacher says. That's not what the Bible says. The soul that sinneth, it shall what?
Die.
Whatever you think the soul is. The Bible makes it clear, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Not going to live in hell for all eternity.
You see, if the wicked were punished in hellfire for all eternity, then the wicked also have eternal life.
Do they?
No, the wicked don't have eternal life.
You don't have a choice between eternal life in heaven versus eternal life in hell. If you want to have eternal life, you must believe in Jesus. Let's notice the Bible description of hell in Malachi 4. You want a clear description of the fires of hell? Malachi 4 verse 1 says, put it in your notes, "For behold, the day comes that shall burn as an oven." It's going to be hot. "And all the proud," yes, "and all that do wickedly shall be stubble." What's stubble? When you harvest the rice field, what's left in the field, that stuff that's sticking up after the harvest, that's the stubble. And oftentimes the farmer will set a fire and he'll burn off the stubble, what's left there in the field after he's harvested the rice. That's the stubble. "The wicked shall be stubble, and the day that cometh shall burn them up." Not going to keep living, they're going to be burned up, saith the Lord of hosts, "that it shall leave them neither root nor branch." Who's the root of all evil?
Satan.
If you burn up a tree and leave the roots, what might happen?
Back to life.
Might come back. But if you burn both the tree and the roots, is it coming back? Not coming back. Let's read verse 3 now.
Malachi 4 verse 3 says, "And you shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts." So God says that the wicked will be turned into what?
Ashes.
Into ashes.
Not going to keep living. They're going to be turned to ashes. And apparently the righteous are going to walk out from the New Jerusalem, out onto those ashes, and watch God recreate planet Earth. Well, son, tell us, where will the devil be? Is the devil in charge of hell, or is he going to be burning in hell?
He's definitely not going to be in charge of hell. Let's read what the Bible says in Ezekiel 28, verses 18 and 19. The Bible says here in Ezekiel 28, 18 and 19, we'll start in verse 16. God says, I will destroy you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. We know from the context this is referring to Lucifer. And then God says, I will bring forth a fire from the midst of you. It shall devour you. I will bring you to what?
Ashes.
Ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold you.
So where does hellfire come from? Comes down from God, and where else?
Comes right out of the devil. God says, I'm going to bring forth a fire from the midst of you.
Is that going to be a special fire?
Definitely.
Because the devil is a spiritual being. Does God have the power to do that, to bring a fire right out of Satan? Oh, yes. And the fire's going to do what?
Devour.
Turn him to?
Ashes.
Ashes.
And then reading on, all they that know you among the people shall be astonished at you. You shall be a terror, and never shall you be any more.
You know what that's telling us? God is someday going to cremate the devil. Amen? That's a funeral you can look forward to. We usually think about funerals as being a time when everybody's sad and crying. But this is the funeral the whole universe is going to be happy for, when God cremates the devil. And God says in Ezekiel 28:19, never shall thou be any more. No more devil. Is that good news?
Amen.
Is that clear? If it's clear, let me hear a loud yes. Oh, you think it's clear, huh? Well, since it's so clear, let's see if we can confuse you a little bit.
Let's go to a rather troubling text. This is Revelation 20, verses 9 and 10. Revelation 20, verses 9 and 10. Verse 9 says, and they went up on the breadth of the earth. They compassed, they surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. We already saw that earlier. The fire destroys them. But now verse 10 says, and the devil that deceives them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever.
Still clear? Oh, you say, preachers, now I'm confused. We just read in Ezekiel where God says he's going to cremate the devil, never be anymore. And here in Revelation, it says the devil's going to be tormented day and night forever and ever. Still clear? Oh, you say, I'm confused now. Is the Bible contradicting itself?
No, Bible never contradicts itself.
We have to answer the question, how long is forever biblically? You say, well, forever means without end. Ooh, depends on what you're describing. When we're talking about God, we know that indeed God is without end. But we use forever in a relative way even today. I'll just give you an example. My son here, sometimes he's in the CR brushing his teeth, and my daughter wants to use the CR, and he's been in there a while. And she says, Daddy, would you tell Michael to get out of the CR? He's been in there forever. What's that mean? Does that mean he spent all of his life in the CR and he'll spend the rest of eternity in the CR? Of course not. It simply means he's been in there a long time. Did you ever say, I had to wait forever for that guy to show up? It seemed like the traffic on Friday would take forever to get here. These are relative expressions. Let me illustrate this way. Ladies, tell me, ladies, have you ever had a man say this to you? I'll love you always and forever. What did he mean? Now, I know some of you ladies are thinking, I wished, preacher, I knew what he meant. I thought he would love me as long as he lived, but for some men, yes. When they say always and forever, it's going to be as long as they live. But you know, there are other men. Always and forever might only be for the week. And for some men, it's just for the night. The next night, they're telling some other woman, I'll love you always and forever. So we know that forever is relative to what we're describing. In fact, here's something.
In the Bible, forever is used 57 times to describe events that have actually already ended. Here is an example, Revelation 14:11. And the smoke of their torment ascends up forever and ever. What does forever and ever mean?
Let's look at some more text. This is from Exodus 21:6. It says, he, that's a servant, shall serve him, that's the master, forever. How long was that? As long as he lived. Another one, 1 Samuel 1:22. Well, Hannah brought the little boy Samuel to the temple to abide there forever. How long was that, son?
As long as he lives, verse 28.
Forever doesn't even have to be that long.
No, it doesn't, Father, because you see, Jonah was in the belly of the fish how long?
Forever, he said.
He was in there forever, but actually the Bible tells us, well, it says, Jonah 2:6, I went down to the bottoms of the mountains in the belly of that great fish. The earth with her bars was about me how long?
Forever.
Forever. And then Jonah 1:17, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish how long? 3 days and three nights.
I'll tell you, if I was in a fish's belly, a whale's belly, for 3 days and three nights, I'd think that was forever too. So question, does forever in the Bible always mean without end?
No.
No, otherwise Jonah would still be in the whale's belly. Forever and ever is a biblical expression which means until the end of the age, not an infinite unending length of time. Usually it means as long as life shall last. But for Jonah, it was just 3 days and three nights. But son, what about the expression eternal fire? The Bible talks about eternal fire, doesn't it?
Well, it does. Let's go read about eternal fire from Jude 1, verse 7. What does eternal fire mean? Jude 1:7 says, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of what?
Eternal fire.
Eternal fire. So they are put forth as an example to who? Well, let's read another text.
Well, first of all, are Sodom and Gomorrah still burning?
No.
No, but they were burned with eternal fire. As an example. An example to who? Let's read 2 Peter 2:6. Mark that in your notes. It says, in turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into what?
Ashes.
We learn that at end time, God's going to turn the wicked into what?
Ashes.
So here, Sodom and Gomorrah turned into ashes, burned with eternal fire. Condemn them with an overthrow, making them an ensample or an example unto those that after should live ungodly. Sodom and Gomorrah are an example of what God is going to do to the wicked.
He is going to turn them into ashes. We read that in Malachi 4:3.
But they're going to be burned with eternal fire.
So apparently, this eternal fire will be eternal in its effect, but not in its duration.
In other words, the effect of hellfire, will the wicked ever come back to life? Will they ever live again? They're going to be burned up, and the effect of that punishment is going to last for all eternity. They're not going to keep getting punished. They'll be gone. For all eternity.
So tonight, we've answered three questions about hellfire. Number one, when does hellfire burn?
When? End of the world. After the resurrection of damnation. Where will hellfire burn?
It'll burn right here on the earth. And number three, how long will hellfire burn?
Long enough to reward each of the wicked according to their works. But we know it's going to end because the righteous will inherit the earth.
And if you'd like to read more, you can visit our website and download the free handout on hell. We didn't give that to you here.
That's one you have to go to the internet to get. Revelationsofprophecy.com. We'll upload that probably tonight or tomorrow, so you can download that for your file. But many of the questions are also in your lesson tonight. If you'd like more info on hell, visit our amazing facts website, helltruth.com. And you can learn a lot more about Hill there. Hilltruth.com.
Now, before we finish talking about hellfire, we want to make something very, very clear. God does not enjoy the work of destroying the lost. Let's read a text from Ezekiel 33, verse 11. Ezekiel 33, verse 11. God says here, "Say unto them, as I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways. For why will ye die, O house of Israel?"
Has God made provision for our salvation? Does anybody have to go to hell?
No.
Hell fire was prepared for who? The Bible says hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. If we end up in hell fire, it's not going to be God's fault. God has made ample provision for our salvation. And that's why you read in Hebrews 2, verse 3, how shall we escape
if we neglect so great a salvation?
What more could God do to save us? It's like the story, you might have heard the story, happened during the days of the Wild West in America. There was a young man living in a town in America during the days of the Wild West. That was when everybody carried a gun, remember? And this young man was a well-respected young man in his town. And one day, he was playing cards with a friend of his, and they got into an argument. And they got so angry with each other, this young man, he pulled out his gun, he shot his friend. And the friend died. So this young man, he was arrested. And he was sentenced to be hung for his crime of murder. Now, he was not a criminal. This was the first time he'd ever been involved with a crime. And so his parents, they thought maybe we could get the governor to pardon this youth, because this happened in anger. He wasn't a criminal. And so they circulated a petition throughout the town that this young man be pardoned by the governor. And there were many people in the town that liked the young man. The petition went all through the state. They got hundreds, thousands of signatures. And when the petition arrived on the governor's desk, the governor was a Christian man. He thought, yeah, I'm going to pardon this youth. Wrote out a pardon for this young man. And then he thought, I'm going to test the sincerity of this youth. So he dressed himself up like a preacher. Black suit, white collar, Bible under his arm. And he went down to the prison where this young man had been locked up. And he walked into the prison, and when he got to the cell, the young man looked up and he saw what he thought looked like a preacher. He said, "Preacher, I've already had a bunch of preachers come by here. I don't want to see another preacher." And the governor, who looked like a preacher, said, "But young man, I've got good news for you." And the young man said, "Yeah, that's what every preacher that's come visit me said. Oh, we got good news for you. The good news is salvation." And the young man said to the governor, who he thought was a preacher, he said, "Preacher, I don't want your good news. Now go away and leave me alone." Governor stood there for a moment. Then he turned and walked away. Some minutes later, the director of the prison came by and said to the young man, "Well, how did you make out with the governor?" And the young man said, "Governor? What do you mean, governor? There's been no governor come to visit me." And the director of the prison said, "Yes, young man, that was the governor of the state that just came to visit you, and he had a pardon in his pocket." "Oh," said the young man, "please call him back. I got to apologize to him for my terrible words." But the governor had already left. And so that young man sat down and he wrote out an apology to the governor for his words. And when the governor received that letter, he turned it over. He wrote on the backside, "No longer interested in this case." He sensed that that young man was not sincere. Some weeks later, they took the young man out to be hung for his crime of murder. And so they asked him, "Now, do you have any final words you want to tell the American people before you die?" He said, "Yes. I want the people of America to know that I'm not being hung today because I killed a man. I'm being hung today because I rejected the pardon that had been brought to me." If we are lost, it's not because God hasn't provided a pardon. It's because we have rejected the pardon that God has offered us. The
Bible says in John 3, verse 16, let's say it all together tonight. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God paid an infinite price so that we need not perish, but have everlasting life. Those are the two options. You don't live in hellfire for all eternity. Either you live with Jesus for all eternity, or you perish for all eternity. Those are the only two options.
I want you to consider for a moment tonight what heaven would be like for a wicked person. Have you ever thought about that? There'll be no cigarettes in heaven. You still want to go to heaven? There'll be no alcohol in heaven. You still want to go? Hello?
Yes.
There'll be no discos there. Still want to go?
No wild parties.
No wild parties there. There will be no sin there. No selfishness. Can you imagine what heaven would be like for a wicked person? To be surrounded by all these unselfish, holy, sinless people? That would be the ultimate torture for a wicked person.
And so God's love, no less than his justice, assigns the wicked to what they themselves would choose, eternal separation from a holy God and a holy place.
The wicked are shut out of heaven by their own unfitness to be there. Someday God is going to have a clean universe. The fires of hell are going to purify this world. And after the fire goes out, you can read in Nahum 1, verses 9 and 10, where the Bible says, sin will never arise again for all eternity.
The Bible tells us in Revelation 21, 1, this is good news. Revelation 21, verse 1, this is all the way down near the end of the Bible. John says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. What happened to the first heaven? The Bible says the first heaven and the first earth were passed away and there was no more sea.
Burned up by fire.
And then he says in verse 4,
God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. If hell fire continued to burn for all eternity, then there would be sorrow, there would be crying, there would be pain, there would be tears. The Bible says, no, all that's going to pass away after hellfire goes out. Then God's going to wipe away our tears because perhaps we may see people that we know in the fire. We might recognize somebody that's lost. So there, no doubt there'll be tears, but when the fire goes out, God's going to wipe away our tears. He'll wipe away, no doubt, the painful memory. And then there'll be no more death, no more sorrow, no more pain.
And today we can still choose our destiny, our eternity. The way to life is narrow, the Bible says, and few there be that find it. The devil stands on one side and holds out to everyone the fun, the fame, the pleasures of sin, which only last for a short time. But Christ offers a crown of life, and we can choose which we will have today.
Have you made your choice? Have you made the decision to accept Jesus and follow Jesus? I want to be saved, don't you? Jesus wants you to be saved. Ask yourself tonight, is there anything that would cause me to end up in hellfire? Wouldn't you like to ask Jesus tonight to take your heart, to cleanse your heart, to prepare you to live in that sinless world called heaven? How many want to ask him to do that in your life? May I see your hands? God bless you. There is hope for you. Hellfire was for the devil planned. There is hope for you, but the lost also are in his band. There is hope for you. You must not in that fire land. There is hope in Christ for you.
There is hope for you. The fires of hell will at last go out. There is hope for you. God's saints will then give a mighty shout. There is hope for you. Peace will then reign without a doubt. So there is hope in Christ for you.
Yes, friend, today we can choose to be with the saved.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.